I think riding a bicycle was a scary prospect when I was a kid. I can remember when I think it was my father was teaching me, and I can remember he saying, I'm going to let go, and I'm like, no, don't let go, don't let go. And then all of a sudden, there I'm going, sailing down. Pretty amazing, you know? But isn't that kind of cool? You know, you learn how to do that, and for the rest of your life, you could just get up on a bicycle. Now, for me, it might not be as easy as it was when I was a kid, but you get on it and you go. You don't forget about it, you know? We make assumptions of things that we do that we've done it all our life, like as if the first moment we ever got on a bicycle, we just got on and it went. Now, we know that's not the case, right? It took a little practice. But for anybody who is good at anything, it takes time, correct? Okay, so let's say you're good at carpentry, all right? Now, did you learn to do that just the moment that you picked up a hammer and nail and were able to put things together? Or did it take time to understand? Maybe go to wood shop in high school or to take on a trade and have somebody teach you what to do and teach you and with patience and that you learn. This morning at 8:30, I said, you know, it was just a miracle. Jonathan, when he was born, you know, his mom just put him down on a piano bench and he just started playing. For Jonathan, you know, it wasn't something that just simply came to him. He learned. And it takes practice, you know. Every kid that ever took piano lessons or any kind of music lessons was, you know, how they would resist and say, you know, mom and dad, did you do your lesson? No. You know, and they fight and resist and, you know, but eventually if they really love that instrument and they want to do this, they know it takes time and practice. It's with anything that we choose that we want to do well that it comes to us. When Father Mike was serving as priest over at St. Andrew's, he had invited me a couple times to go over and serve on their Wednesday Mass when he was away. And so the first time I did it, I went while he was there so I could see the order, which is very similar to how we do things, but there's enough twists and turns to it that you really need, you can't just pick it up and just say, oh, I'm going to do this. And so, you know, I'd go over and I'd do it the week after and it went fine. And then I'd get asked to come back 6 weeks later, and do you think I could remember all the parts? No. But I had a very patient congregation, and they kind of chuckled when they, you know, this Lutheran pastor was going through the Book of Common Prayer, and they were very patient with me. But I've learned it just doesn't happen overnight. Just as talking with the kids about riding a bicycle, God also does the same thing for us. He knew that people were not perfect. He knew that people would fail. And just as we hear in Jeremiah today about this new covenant that God is giving them, he knows that they have not been true to the first covenant, the covenant of the Ten Commandments, and that the people have broken it, and that they've fallen away from him time and time again. And this time he says, but I'm going to do something a little bit different, and I'm going to write this upon your hearts so that you will not forget, that it will be a part of your life for all of your life, so that you don't have to think twice about whether you have forgiveness or not, or whether I am with you or not. Because there were great times of travail for these people as they agonized over whether God was still with them or not, because of the way in which they were experiencing life and all its hardships. You know, what is it that people tend to say when just a series of things or even one major catastrophe happens? It's like, where is God in all this? We think, you know, God has abandoned us, but the reality is that we are the ones who have turned a blind eye to God. Now, I believe that this passage from Jeremiah was intended for a specific people at a specific time, but there is a parallel we can draw from that in understanding how God does that for his people today, for us who follow him through Christ. And that covenant comes at the moment that we are baptized, when our parents bring us kicking and screaming to that baptismal font, and when that pastor poured that water over their heads and they had no clue what was happening, probably thinking that they were getting a bath. And the pastor is saying these things, and the congregation is also agreeing that they will have a covenant in raising this child up with the parents. A decision that was made not by me, but by God. And so in that way, it is also written upon our hearts. It is written upon our foreheads in the sign of a cross. But we also, we sign it over our hearts as a way of remembering how God in Christ is within us and is present. So that we know that when we hit those peaks and valleys in life, that we are able to still be strong and knowing that God is present. When we know we are at our lowest moment in life, that we don't need to remind ourselves because we know that Christ is within us, that there is forgiveness, there is hope, there is a future that lies ahead. You know, that those very familiar words that we sang for the psalm, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Make me this individual that you desire for me to be. Don't turn away from me, O God, but stay with me and help me to grow in love and understanding with you. And as we hear Jesus in his gospel, this gospel reading for today, as he speaks of the fact that he must be lifted up, and what does he say so that he can draw all people to himself? Not just a couple, not just a certain denomination, but all people, all the world's people will be drawn to him. And when we get to that place, and we are certainly not quite there yet, but when we are able to be mindful that Christ is within our hearts, the moment that we wake up to the moment that we fall asleep, and that we don't need to think twice as to whether God is with us or not, even in those most difficult moments, that we know and we trust that God is present, that we are able to be bold to share in that word and not be afraid. You know, it just amazes me how easy it is to talk about so many different things in life. Hey, did you hear that joke the other day? Hey, what do you think about the Tigers' chances this year? We can talk about anything. Talk about a TV show. We can talk about politics. We can talk about all these things. But then when it comes to our faith, suddenly something happens to us as if all of a sudden this hand comes up from within and just clenches us and makes us feel like, I can't do that. And the reality is that Christ gives us those words. They're right here. Right here. It's not that difficult. So as we're drawing to a close in this Lenten season, we are reminded how what Christ has done for us, we are reminded of how this covenant is made with us and that it is for us permanently, that he has restored to us salvation and he has given us the promise and that nothing separates us from that gift. And we all come here today with many situations and many struggles with health issues and with relationship issues and with just personal issues of multitudes of kind. But we can all leave here knowing that Christ gives us what is necessary to live, to get us over those difficult moments, that we can meet the next challenges, and that we don't need to worry about what's going to happen because we place our trust in him. Today, God has written a new covenant upon your hearts, a covenant that was made at your baptism in which God took you to himself and made you his own. And he says to us, my love is with you forever. And I don't want you to forget. So here it is. It's written on your heart. Know me. And walk with me. And be confident that I'm with you always. Amen.